Hello, everyone, and welcome to the EDH Rec Room, a place where we sit down for a chill chat about casual EDH stuff. We are just back from a lovely trip to Command Fest Richmond and wanted to give you all a recap of our experience, talk about stuff we enjoyed, things we learned, and celebrate the whole thing with you. And naturally here, I'm joined by Mr. Matt Morgan.
So this past weekend, I got into an argument with somebody about a 90-degree angle, and turns out I was right.
You a right angle were you? Oh, well, I'm glad.
Yeah, I took the right angle. That's what I should say.
That's a cute story.
Well, I need you to stop being so obtuse about my joke and just move on.
There it is. We've also got Dana, who, real quick, I should note, will have a different sound quality than normal. We'll explain her in a second. But hey, Dana Roach, how you doing?
Why did the scarecrow win a Nobel Prize?
I would love to know.
He was the best in his field. joke provided to me by a listener who ran up to me in the Richmond airport as I was waiting for my flight and gave me that dad joke. It was a standout, so I'm glad to pass it on to y'all.
That's so terrific. And Dana, real quick, why are you on a different microphone setup right now? Why aren't you back home recording on the good mic? Let everyone know what you're up to.
Because a normal person who spent 3 days in Richmond at a Command Fest would go home and recover. But I have decided to go to Las Vegas and spend a few days before going to yet another Command Fest. So I am recording this from a very improvised setup in a hotel room in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Could we have had the foresight to bring good microphones and record something there while we were all together in Richmond? Yes. Did we? No. No, we did not.
No, we did not. Yeah. And I'll quick throw this out there as well. Matt and I had a bit of an adventure actually getting to Richmond in the first place.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of people did. There were storms happening. The Thursday night people were flying in. So it threw some flights off. And Matt and I both had connecting flights we missed. So I landed in Charlotte, North Carolina at about 11 o'clock on Thursday night and wasn't able to get a connecting flight to Richmond for like a full day almost. So I rented a car with Anthony Alongai and we drove and picked up Matt in Norfolk where he also got stuck. Same problem. And then drove from Norfolk to Richmond and arrived at about, what, Matt, 7 a.m. or so?
I believe that at the time our heads hit the pillows, it was a rough 7 a.m., yeah.
Yeah.
So we slept for like 2 hours and took a shower and went back to the Command Fest and started things up Friday morning, first thing.
I can't believe you guys managed to stay upright that day at all, but it was a lovely time. You're right. There were a lot of travel mishaps getting there, but people made it, and it was so wonderful to see all of the fantastic folks in the community. We spent amazing time with, it was great to see you guys again. I don't know if listeners know necessarily, but like that is the second time ever that all three of us were together in the same place because we're all spread out across the entire U.S. We're in like three different time zones, you know? So.
Yeah, it turns out a pandemic plus just being spread out puts a damper on in-person hangouts, but it was actually pretty great. All three of us have, you know, not caught COVID. Thankfully, you know, masks were everywhere at the event. It was
actually
very, very safe feeling. And so I just want to give a big shout out to the community in general, not just for, you know, coming together and having a great time, but everybody did it safely. We did it as safe as possible, I guess we should say. Everybody's wearing masks. Everybody was showing their vaccination cards or the proof of a negative test, all of that. That was a required thing by Star City. And it was great that, you know, there wasn't any pushback. And I think the community did a really great job at, we have this awesome thing that we've been waiting literally years to do. We finally have this opportunity and we're going to do it right. And that was just one thing that I am very, very proud of the community for how we all handled that at the event.
The entire time was such a tonic for the soul to be with folks again. It was wonderful. Like y'all got to meet Chase, aka Mana Curves, co-editor. Shout out to you, Chase. Oh my God, it was so lovely to see you again. And it was lovely for Chase to get to meet y'all in person as well. And then also surprise visit by Don Miner, the person who you know, created the EDH rec. And then it was, of course, just wonderful to meet up with Derek and Ken from One More Mana, to meet up with Olivia Gobert-Hicks and Kat were doing the cosplays, Tappy Toe Claws, Power Dragon, the Goldfish crew, Shivam. It was just such a wonderful I talked a whole night about musicals with Jeremy Knoll and with Princess Weeks. And I talked about card design with Scott Larrabee. And it was all of that was so soothing and wonderful. And it's like, the gathering is back. And so, yeah, if I just end up gushing the whole time, I apologize to everyone, but it was so wonderful. And every single listener that we met while we were there, y'all made it such a sweet and phenomenal experience. I had a tremendous time. It was so fantastic.
Yeah, it is impossible just to name and thank everyone specifically. And so just from all three of us, from the bottom of our hearts, if we met you this weekend, thank you so much. If we didn't have a chance to, because there were a lot of people that we wanted to get games in with and we just didn't. I mean, there's just a finite time for everybody there. So thank you to everyone that we did get games in with and everybody else that we didn't. There will be events in the future and we hope to see you all then too, because it was a fantastic experience all around. Just walking around and talking with other folks, I don't think there was a bad game that people really had expectations. And those pregame conversations, it looked like were going extremely well. I asked people in pretty much every game that I was in, have you had any bad games? And nobody had anything bad to say about anything. People were, if they were playing the high power decks, people were being clear about that. If they were playing more casual, if they were playing silly theme decks, everybody was having those conversations and clearly delineating what they were looking for. And that was actually one of my favorite things to hear, because you know, we're getting to see people again. And so maybe our social skills maybe got a little rusty talking to our pets the entire time. But it was super encouraging to hear that, you know, there were very, very few bad games.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. There were some things, some experiences, some takeaways that we wanted to mention about the whole experience. And I know that, Dana, for you, the pregame discussion was a huge thing that you were just so happy about, and that was a really great takeaway for you. So, Matt, I'm glad to hear you echo that, too. And Dana, I know that was a big thing for you.
Yeah, it happened in every game I played in, everyone. And it wasn't I've heard plenty of complaints online before, this only really works for content creators, or it takes up too much time. That's just not how it was. Even in games that I wasn't in, that were happening, adjacent to me at different tables, everyone was just spending 20 seconds talking over what they wanted from the game. And it was very relaxed. Everyone relayed information quickly and succinctly. Everyone had a good attitude about it. It just functioned really smoothly, as well as I have ever seen it. And it happened that way in every single pod I played in or watched.
Yes. And honestly, same. Every single game I played was an absolute banger. The pregame discussion worked out great for me. And one thing that I do, and Matt, I know that you're kind of like this too, sometimes we'll just dump a whole bunch of cards from our deck just face up on the table to be like, hey, here's the stuff here. You know, here's stuff to expect is here are all these cards.
Yeah.
Just because I want to be clear and frank about it all.
Yeah, I would say if there was a bullet point for me to contribute to this, I would say even don't be afraid to tell people about cards that might be a little scary or might not go over well with people. I got into the habit whenever I would play my Miri deck, I would say, I do have Devoted Druid in here. I know it's a combo piece, but it's mostly a Panharmonic on deck. I just want to turn things sideways and just get a bunch of value and win that way. But I would make sure I tell them, I have this combo piece in there to be mindful of. I'm not going to hide information, but I'm also telling them my entire plan. I'm not telling them that I'm going to pull out this certain card and that's the way that I run people over. I'm not going to tell them, oh, I'm going to, find a Whisperwood Elemental and make sure that I have all my board wipe protection. There's so many different ways that you can still make sure that you're respecting your opponents. I guess so many people are so afraid of playing things close to the chest, but at least giving people a fair warning of, here's a card that has a high salt score on EDH rec.
Mm.
That's just going to give people another opportunity to opt out, or maybe not even, and if they don't opt out of the game entirely, maybe say, do you have any other decks? I think societal pressure kind of keeps people pressured into not being able to feel comfortable opting out. And I think you're just giving people an extra opportunity to do that by saying, here's a card that people may not think is fun. That's a good habit. I think I saw a lot of people getting into, and I think being able just to kind of convey that and apply it to my own games, because I got into that habit, after that first day, I think that really helps that Rule Zero conversation that ultimately I spent more time explaining it than I think people spent actually having those conversations, because it was just quick, succinct, to the point. Hey, yeah. I want to play this deck. And it went really well all around.
Yeah, I definitely noticed in the tables that I was in and tables I was not in that folks felt encouraged to say like, that might be a bit too spicy for me. Or I don't know if I'd feel comfortable playing this deck I'm holding in my hands right here against yours there, just because I might be going a little faster than what you seem to be doing or what that deck seems to want to do. So are you in the mood for something punchy or should I switch this around? Like that is a tone that I definitely noticed as well. I was happy to see other folks also encourage that and encourage like, I just played against this exact commander in the previous pod. Do you have something else? Or like, oh man, I just went really, a little bit lower on the last game and I'm kind of in the mood for something a little bit spicier for this one. Yeah, that was the thing that I was really happy to see. I think just everyone was so eager to play Magic with people. I did not have a bad experience in game. I just didn't. Like, and, you know, I know that we're content creators, so like there's a temptation for us to exaggerate experiences and stuff like that. But like, I had a fantastic time. I had a wonderful and soothing for the soul time. And I was so happy to play against every single person that I did get to play against. So I don't know what else to tell you except exactly that. It was great. And I was really happy to see the way that the pregame discussion has evolved, providing a little bit more depth and a little bit more clarity for everyone to be able to put stuff out there and to make sure that everyone's expectations are exactly aligned. That was absolutely terrific.
The one thing I really noticed that was missing this time in a positive way, compared to, so Command Fest Chicago was 4 or 5 months before COVID hit. It was the last real event of that year, and I went to that. There was a bit of, I guess I would maybe call it angle shooting that I saw there. So they were kind of like, there were some people that would be a little bit disingenuous with their next power level in order to kind of get some stops in. I saw none of that anywhere. Like, people were straight up very honest with their deck power level in ways that, at least at that event, I saw a little bit of, and I saw none of that this weekend. It was very much everyone looking to maximize the fairness of every pod. That was really, really heartening to see, for sure.
And I think that's kind of a good indicator of the way that the CEDH community specifically has helped each other evolve.
Absolutely.
And I like that word that you used, Joey, evolving. The pregame discussion has evolved. They found a way to regulate. It's, you know, hey, let's make sure none of this happens. Let's give, you know, put ourselves above reproach when it comes to those types of things, because that's not why we're here. And, you know, there were definitely those people looking to get these high power decks, and they were playing their games, and the people that wanted the low power games, that was fine. And I definitely had people that asked me, hey, do you have any CEDH decks? And I was like, I don't really look to play those types of games. If you have a deck, you know, I'd be willing to try, but also it'd be kind of stumbling, and I don't know if it'd be great for you if you have a casual deck. And, you know, we had those conversations, and that was awesome to see, like, the evolution of Social Commander has gotten so much smoother than the last time we had paper events. And maybe that's one thing that we all were working on, you know, ourselves over COVID, to make sure that we were able to handle those conversations better too.
So while we were here, we also had the draft for Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate. And real quick, I want to check in with you guys with how it went for you. Because I don't know about y'all, I had a fantastic time. I will say the draft itself was a little bit long. It took up quite a bit of time to actually do it. But the drafting part itself, I flippin' love this set. I think that this particular Rec Room episode will go out before next week's episode. yes, this will come out before next week's episode. That's how it goes. But we've recorded something previously that might actually be pushed to next week, when it had originally been slotted to go out this week, for us talking about cards that we really, really like. And you'll hear us gush more about Baldur's Gate. Right here, I'll just say I really enjoyed Baldur's Gate. I drafted a really fantastic Minthara deck, which is the one that gets you a bunch of experience counters and buffs up all of your creatures for each experience that you get. It was a black-white tokens. It felt so phenomenal to me. I even got this Lazelle card that allowed me to get additional experience counters whenever I tried to get one. It would like add additional. So by some point in the game, I was like, all my creatures are +8/+0, and I just felt invincible. It was such a terrific time. I loved it. It was unique and interesting. The backgrounds were so flexible and fun. So I had a great time. That's me.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So, but now I want to ask y'all, Matt, I heard you laugh. Like, how was the draft for you?
So, yeah, I actually maybe had too much fun with my pre-release. So the draft was very fun. Everybody that we were drafting with, we all had a good time. So I opened up a promo, Nine Fingers, the Gates legendary creature that was very interesting, very outside my wheelhouse. And I thought, whatever, I'm just going to draft every single gate that I see. And I drafted 15 gates. That was, so 15 gates in a 60 card deck. That's a lot.
It was so funny. There was a point we were like, Dana and I were hanging out in some other corner, and then Matt runs up to us, is like, I just drafted 15 gates. Okay, gotta go play my game. Bye.
Yes. So I think on turn 8, I had 12 or 13 lands in play. Ward 9 life is basically hexproof. So and the people that I played in the pod with, they were extremely. I that was probably the best social game that I had. We all were having fun. I was up against two Boros decks and an Azorius initiative deck, and I was the only one that had any sort of removal. And so I had so many resources, and I kind of took over the game. I felt bad, but everybody in my pod was like, no, we're the ones that passed you the cards. You are totally fine. We gave you these cards. And I felt very comforted by that. But my deck was absolutely crazy pants. I killed the entire table all in it at the same time, but there's just a bunch of really cool cards in there. The goad enchantments, the auras, those things are super good in limited, people. It turns out when you're in Sultain, you have all the removal you could ever want. Plus you have all the resources you could ever want. Like my deck, our moderator, Chris, actually walked up to me at one point. I was like, oh, that looks like it's going to be a fun deck. Came back maybe 5 minutes later. He's like, what did you do? What happened here? Because my board state just exploded. And it was a lot of fun. I would have never built a Sultain deck for myself, but I had a lot of fun with this.
That's fantastic. Dana, how about you? How was your Baldur's Gate draft?
It was a lot of fun. My promo was Miriam the Sentinel Worm, who is the Temur Dragon Commander. Ooh. It's like, well, I might as well build Temur Dragons. I would guess I usually don't play three-color decks. I might as well do that here. And people weren't passing. I was not seeing any removal. So I'm like, I guess my solution to that is just to put more dragons in play than people can remove, is what my plan was. So I just took every dragon orb. I think I had 6 or 7 dragon orbs. So like I would play my commander, first time I dropped Miriam, she had hexproof and haste because of the red and the green dragon orb that were out. That was tough to deal with. And then I just kept playing bodies. The strategy worked. It was a lot of fun. When I did the actual draft, that was the day I was functioning on 2 hours sleep, but kind of fell asleep twice, I think, during the draft, to the point where I was like holding cards in hand, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, how much time just passed? And did I snore there? And like, well, no one's staring at me, so I couldn't have been out very long. Grabbed my two cards and passed them on. So I don't think anyone noticed, but at least two different times during that draft, I like blanked out mentally because I was so tired. So had it not been in a really engaging, fun draft, it may have well been more than two times. I was just that exhausted. So it was a ton of fun. I would definitely do it again. The fact that it went two rounds was probably more than I would do. I actually dropped for the second one. Mm. And that was just because at that point, I'd already been there for like 3 hours. And I just wanted to do a different thing. But other than that, it was a ton of fun to draft. And the game was really fun, too.
Yeah, I think my only feedback about the draft format in general, and like you both have mentioned, it is a long experience.
Yes.
It's fun. It's great. But an hour to draft, because it takes that long to draft a 60-card deck. And then the deck building process, plus playing a game of Commander, you have to, yeah, it is a commitment. And so having two games for that, I wasn't a big fan of. But the actual games itself, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I would definitely do it again.
So Matt, you mentioned that your draft was one of the best social experiences that you had in game while you were there. For me, I want to shout out. I had an absolutely terrific experience. The one I really want, I'm just, oh, I was so pleased. We arranged Gay Pod with Daniel Holt of Wizards of the Coast, with Tomer of MTG Goldfish, and with our moderator, Riss, who goes by Riss the Redeemed. We played this epic game of Mimeoplasm versus Crash versus Toshiro Umezawa versus Tomer's tribal list, which is so much fun. And it was definitely, Tomer already said it was a highlight for him. I am absolutely like, that was a tremendous highlight for me, especially when like Riss straight up bajuka bogged me to get rid of like 50 cards in my graveyard, which was just like devastating, but I deserve it. Like it was that level of swinginess and amazing tempo. And I was just like, oh, it was just a wonderful, delightful thing. And meeting other folks in the LGBTQ plus community, or folks whose kids were part of that community, y'all were just so kind. And it was so wonderful to see everyone there. And like, this is kind of a weird thing for us too, is that like a lot of our, I guess, popularity of our show has happened over the course of lockdown. So actually getting to see people and for people to know us, and we're no longer anonymous, like that was also just a really like a whoa of an experience. I don't know. All y'all out there kind of may have made me happy cry a little bit with how thoughtful and kind you were. So rest assured that you inspire us too. It was great. Oh, and I got a Tasha. I'm really happy. I have a Tasha now. I finally got the Tasha.
So the weekend was a success for everyone in every way.
Yes, very, very, very much. Here's a weird thing. Here's a takeaway from me that I want to throw out there. Did you guys notice certain decks that you played more or less than others? This was a thing that I definitely noticed. I played a lot of Mimeoplasm over the week because that's a deck that I have recently way tuned down. It was like, that's my baby. It's my oldest commander. It's the deck that I was putting everything into, all of my highest value stuff. And I noticed that as a result of that, I rarely played it because it would usually be constructed in a way that would kind of punch above everyone else's weight class. And so I, before the event, really tuned that down. And instead, I put a lot of my favorite stuff into Conrad. Like that's the deck that I juiced up a whole lot more. And I noticed myself, when I was like talking about decks that I'd brought and things that I could play, Mimeoplasm was more of a go-to that people either wanted to play against or that I wanted to pull out because it felt fair. Whereas Conrad, I think I only played it once over the entire time. And I'm wondering if that was a takeaway for you guys too, or if you were smarter than me and you brought a more even spread of decks, or I don't know what that experience was like for you guys. But this is a takeaway that I thought might be kind of interesting to observe.
Well, when I checked my decks earlier this spring, the power level of them was all sevens. So like, I guess
that was... I almost drowned. I almost did a spit take and broke my microphone, spitting water all over it. Dana, oh my God.
No, I definitely leaned into the lower power decks. Number one, it's something I tend to do when I'm playing with strangers anyway, because I would rather have to fight an uphill battle than feel like I'm kicking people when they're down. So I tend to lean into that anyway and assume that I would rather have people overestimate their deck's power and have me underestimate what I should play against it than vice versa. Mm. But it never wound up being an issue. Like I would play those lower power decks for the most part, and everyone else was kind of on the same page with how they evaluated their decks. So my matchups all felt really, really good.
Yeah, I would say all of my matchups for the most part, whenever we would kind of discuss what type of game are we looking for, what power level, my decks are pretty tuned. I think my least powerful deck that I brought was going to be my Ukiman Khazzer, which can do a lot, but also can do not a lot. And then my most powerful deck, my Omnath, you know, if I'm playing a little more juicy, then if I just wanted to just see what happens, I had my Vivictus Asmodee the Dire deck. And that led to some fun experiences where I also got to play against Tomer from the MTG Goldfish crew. And we were just flipping over dragons and seeing what happened. And it was a lot of fun. But as I would say, either my Vivictus deck I played the most, or my Ukiman Khazzer. I played my Miri a couple times, played Omnath a few times, but I think those were the decks that I played the most, just because, you know, they're so random. Something happened, you know, I need two breaks and I can win the game, or if I, you know, get one break or one bad break, I can lose the game. So I never feel like I'm ever running away with it, kind of like what you were talking about, Joey. So I did finally achievement unlocked, however you want to put it, with my Ukiman Khazzer deck. I did win a game with Simic Ascendancy. So that was kind of a neat thing. I did put, I think it was 17 counters on it in one turn. So that was my achievement unlocked moment of the weekend for sure. But yeah, I think I played my Miri deck the least. But that's fine. It was still just a fantastic weekend.
Cool. Yeah. And I actually do think that, like, I'm still happy I brought the spread of decks that I did. I just may not have happened into some of the pods where I would play the thing that I thought was my juiciest deck or something like that. But yeah, I'm glad that I did feel prepared, even if I noticed that, like, oh, here are certain decks that I actually prioritized more. And I'm interested to see why that is. It felt like a thing I didn't anticipate going into it, and a thing that now that I'm out of it, I'm just like, oh, of course, like I should have realized that. But Matt, hey, you just mentioned achievement unlocked. We got to ask, like, what were some standout moments from games? What were some awesome things that you saw happen that were just totally phenomenal? Like, Dana, what's some moments that stuck out to you?
There were two that were kind of similar. One, a player with a Primal Surge deck had kind of whiffed on getting to the Primal Surge he wanted to hit until two of us were knocked out of the game. And finally was able to, like, as he was about to die, top deck that allowed him to Primal Surge into his win. And the other person still alive in the pod was a friend of his. Like, they were, you know, he knew the deck. They were both friends. He's like, okay, did you hit the haste enabler? And he, like, basically dumped his whole deck out because there was no instant sorceries in it beyond Primal Surge. So it was basically cast Primal Surge, play your whole deck out. Mm. And he's like, okay, you got me. And a third party there was like, is that a Coveted Jewel? Which, when it ETBs, forces you to draw three cards. So basically, the Primal Surge player decked himself because he couldn't draw cards off the ETB on the Coveted Jewel.
Oh, no!
Which, number one, is funny, but, like, number two, like, the guy who did it laughed about it. Like, he's like, oh, all right, I guess I just lose. Like, he had a good attitude about that mistake, and immediately, of course, he yanked Coveted Jewel from his deck. But his attitude about his own screw-up was, like, exactly how you should do that. I did something similar on the last day. I think I was playing a game with Logan, who goes by Seraph Six. And I went to free cast a Patrician Scorn, which is a destroy all enchantment spell that you can cast for free if you already cast a white spell that turn. Hmm. And of all things, Lavinia, Azori's Renegade, was in play, which counters any spell that you cast without paying mana. Which, you know, it's a card that just doesn't seem to kind of play. Like, what are the odds that when I go to cast the one free spell in that deck, and it's Patrician Scorn of all things, that there's a Lavinia in play of all things, and it countered it. And same thing, like, everyone laughed about it. It was funny. We moved on. So I think that was a positive on a whole. Like, those were both funny things that occurred, but everyone's reaction to those kind of mistakes was exactly right too. Like, oh, I screwed up. I'm, you know, ha ha ha, and move on. Like, that was something I think I tended to see over the weekend as well. Everyone just was in that right mindset.
Yeah.
Even willing to laugh at themselves.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Like, we're all here for the social part of it, and the perfect playing whatever is not nearly as much fun as, like, wait, did my deck just outsmart me? Whoops. Like, those are also fun moments to create.
Yeah, those moments, I think at any given moment, you would hear somebody from across the hall, a whole pod of people erupt with laughter.
Yes.
That was a very common anthem. And I that's just so great. It's something that I definitely appreciate about Commander as a format, because there's a lot of laughter, even in losing. I know one moment that I definitely remembered, and Dana, this was a game you were in. We were playing against a nice couple, a wife and her husband, and it was a Lind Cheerful Tormentor Curses deck. Ooh. With a Reese the Redeemed, and I was playing my Ukima Khazzar deck, and the game was winding down. Anybody could have ended at any given moment, and the husband went to attack me, had everything lethal, but thankfully, the wife had whittled him down to put him at exactly 3 life, which happened to be what Ukima's power was at, and I had a Teferi's Time Twist in hand, which...
Hey, your favorite!
If you've watched twitch.tv/EDHRecCast, you'll know that I have killed Sheldon Menery, the godfather of Commander, with that method, and so she thought it was hilarious. She thought it was, like, her favorite thing that had happened all weekend. Well, I didn't really feel too bad because he was trying to kill me at the same time, but... I was like, this is my favorite way to knock somebody out is with this card specifically, because I have killed Sheldon Menery with it. And, like, okay, if you've killed Sheldon with that card, I have to consider this a badge of honor. So it was a fun attitude. Like, even in defeat, like, it was fun seeing what people could come up with to knock people out. It was a lot of fun. It was definitely a case of winning wasn't the point. It was the adventure of the game getting to that point and just seeing what people come up with, the creativity. There were so many people that even if we didn't get games in with some people come up and say, hey, I want to show you this deck. I this is one of my favorite decks. And there are some crazy brews out there that you're not going to see on EDHREC.com because these people, like, people are still brewing and it's so great. So yes, EDHREC will tell you what people are playing, but it's never going to tell you some of these wacky things that end up just going off. And so it's, it was a lot of fun. I felt very honored with everyone that asked me to sign a card, sign a playmat, whatever. Like, I appreciate all of you. And thank you just for showing me your decks. Like, it that made the weekend so special for me. It's just like getting to meet so many people.
Yeah, for real. Those were such wonderful moments. And Matt, I I also use Ukima in my Sultai deck. I love to make my Mimeoplasm into a copy of Ukima and then put a bazillion plus one counters on it. Because then, you know, if it leaves the battlefield, Ukima's got that damage trigger, which is so wonderful. And when I would create, like, here's my Ukima with plus one counters from a Lord of Extinction onto the Mimeoplasm. So it's like a 50-50 Ukima. If it leaves play, if you try to kill it, it's still gonna hit you for 50 damage. And that is when, like, everyone was just like, well, you know, the best creature removal is player removal. Let's go after Joey. And it was just still a wonderful, like, yeah, I deserve this. Like, the stuff the attention that I draw to myself is, like, absolutely deserve it. It was so hilarious. There are other moments. Oh, I'm not going to be able to contain all of these in my brain. But, like, there was a player who had a Stuffy Doll Nin the Pain Artist deck. And they managed to pull out Stuffy Doll cloned twice. So every player at the table had a Stuffy Doll for them. Every player had a Voodoo Doll that if it was dealt damage, that player would take the damage. And then it was like earthquake spells to deal damage to all the Stuffy Dolls and, like, take everybody else all out at once. And I'd never seen that many Stuffy Dolls before. Or I loved being able to cast Sakashima's Will on my Will Helt with a bunch of zombies in play. So everything becomes a copy of Will Helt and then they all die. And then Will Helt's, each of the dying Will Helt sees a bunch of other non-decayed zombies dying. So I make like 56 zombies or something like that. But easily my favorite moment was someone going off with a Bolas's Citadel, draining their own life to play cards for free off the top of their deck, and then getting down to like 13 life, something like that, and then paying 9 life to cast a Profane Transfusion, taking them down to 4 life, and Profane Transfusion switches their life total with someone else's life total, and then makes a token that is big equal to the difference. So they went from 4 life to 53 and made a 49-49 token, and then they had more life to keep going off with the Bolas's Citadel. And, like, I'd never even seen Profane Transfusion in a game, let alone used to such effect. And not only that, this was a Willowdusk deck. So then, okay, not only did you make a 49, but now Willowdusk has seen a life gain amount of 49 life and can put 49 plus one counters onto something. It was just so terrific. And, like, those are the moments that are absolutely the point of this whole EDH experience. And they made the experience so phenomenal. So, like, I'm so happy about those moments. These are things that are absolutely going to stick with me. There are so many more, but I literally can't keep them all in my brain because I'm operating on a little bit less sleep than usual because I stayed up so late playing so much EDH.
I can relate, Joey.
Yes, Dana, I'm sure that you can. Promise me that now that you're going to the Command Fest in Vegas, that you hopefully get a little bit more sleep this time. I hope you get the chance to rest, y'all.
I've been taking preemptive naps to, like, store up sleep like a camel stores water in his hump. So I think I'm going to be fine. Okay.
I don't think that's how it works, Dana, but I believe in you.
Awesome. Guys, I think we are probably going to wrap it up here, but thank you to everyone that we met. Thank you to the community members. We were so excited to finally meet everyone in person. Matt and Dana, I was so happy to meet you guys in person again for the second time that we were finally all assembled and there with Chase, the whole editing crew and everything. And to all the listeners that we got to meet, that we got to play with, that we got to chat with. Truly, just a phenomenal experience. And I'm going to be riding this high for so long, you know?
Yeah. And just, yeah, like you said, Joey, thank you to everyone who we did get to meet. Thank you to everyone who maybe we didn't get games in with, but also there are events coming up still too.
Yeah.
And there are definitely going to be more opportunities. So if you see us at any events in the future, please, we'd love to get games in with you. Come say hi, anything like that. We'll be posting on social media our travel schedules that are coming up. So make sure if you're able to come, these events, they have been going great so far, and hopefully everything in the future goes the same way. So yeah, definitely, we would love to meet as many of you all as possible because we appreciate all of our listeners, all of our fans, everything like that. It's great to be in this community, and we definitely appreciate you all.
Very much. And hey, now that I've got some new cards from this event, I don't know about y'all, but I'm in the mood to go and build some new decks too. So how about we say goodbye for now, and let's gear up for some more magic.
Bye.